Hi there, folks. This is the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show. This is episode 50. It's the big 50, Bill.
Right, and this is Memorial Day, and Jonathan is running the console, so we call it an aviation, right seat, left seat. He is controlling and doing everything. So today, Jonathan, we sort of went over what we're going to talk about over on Blab, but let me tell the listener what we're talking about, what we're going over. So it's Memorial Day, so we're going to talk about Memorial Day, long weekends, what agents can do to actually get a transaction on those days. If you work those days and line things up, there's a high probability that you can get something in escrow. And we are also simulcasting today, folks, on Blab, blab.im. That's what I had to do is to go jump over there. But so we're talking about Memorial Day, long weekends, what we can do. Talk a little bit about Facebook, what we're working on the project. Take a break in there, too. And then we're going to talk about the part three of Zillow and what my conclusions are for the agent out there. So without further ado, Jonathan, how's that sound?
Sounds great, Bill, to me. Sounds good
stuff. It's Memorial Day. I want to thank everyone who has served and protect our country, first responders. Also in England, they have something similar to this too, don't they?
Yeah, it's in November. It's the third Sunday of November, and it's a memorial day to those that sacrificed their lives in the First, Second World War and afterwards, Bill.
Okay, so very good, and we want to thank those. It's been a real nice weekend. My family truly, we do not do real estate. We do not much work. We're doing this podcast here. I'm actually heading up to Lake Tahoe via Truckee this afternoon. Everyone's doing stuff. So we're having a nice weekend, but there's always time to do a quick podcast, especially when we didn't get it out yesterday.
So you think that agent should be trying to get a listing or a transaction over this type of weekend, don't you, Bill?
The way I discovered that was probably 20 years ago. Our real estate company in California, we had the design build construction behind a conference room, but I would answer the phones on the long weekends and I'd be working on design engineering. And what I found was there's people trying to buy houses like on the 4th of July long weekends. I'm licensed. I actually went out and showed a house on 4th of July the first time I discovered this. And the guy said, well, my agent's out of town. I said, well, I'm here. We're doing it. So why don't I write the contract now? Because he just did. So we wrote the contract. A lot of people come in and out of towns. You can really set up. It's really the buyer's weekend. If you're working with buyers, you'll find it was always a buyer's transaction or one of our listings. We carried as many in our little team as many as 12 to 14 listings with Karen, myself, and one assistant. And usually there's buyers out there on these long weekends who are interested in buying houses or working with somebody because they are new into town or they just have the time because a lot of people are working and they don't have time except for these long weekends. So the point is, I think, is ideally set up a buyer ahead of time, be available on the phone. But let me tell you what not to do on the long weekends. Do not do any open houses. We just had two of Karen's friends here in Reno. And Karen, of course, has a brokerage in California, and she works for Chase International here as a broker associate. But in Reno, the open houses, we talked to a couple of people, had them. They had like almost no people through like one on both of them. Yeah. So the open houses themselves don't do well. But if you can find a buyer ahead of time or be available on the phone if you have listings to answer these questions and maybe show a house or connect with somebody for coffee who might be in town, you might build a long-term client or sell a transaction. Literally, I think 4 or 5 Fourth of Julys in a row, we put a house into escrow that we did not expect. So Fourth of July weekend was always a good weekend. One other thing I want to talk about is the cycles, at least here in Reno. In May, it's one of the very, very best months to do real estate, to get listings and do everything. The first couple of weeks or in June when the kids get out of school, as soon as they get out of school, there's like a 2-week gap where it really dies down, where a lot of the kids and the families just go on leave right away or leave on vacation. Just cycling it through. May's a great month. June is okay. And June, July, August, people get into the last houses. So that's sort of how it cycles here in Reno and in California where we were in Modesto, or we still are actually. So what do you think, Jonathan? That makes sense?
Yeah, I think local factors do have a sizable impact because I think October, the end of October, obviously depending on when you're going to have the Thanksgiving. But as soon as that first snow hits Reno, really the property market really dies, doesn't it, Bill?
It does. But I'll tell you what, if you want to buy a property, the time to buy it, and Karen, we were talking about this, is not November, December. Amazing deals are available at the end of summer. We bought a property for a client that was appraised at $80,000 more than what we bought it for, got it for him. And it was a beautiful property on about an acre and a half, a nice home, a little older home, needed to be fixed up, but a lot of land, a lot of property. And it's just gorgeous up in northern Reno, and some big parcels up there in the foothills.
You sold it to me, Bill.
No.
He's a good salesperson, folks.
But it's a good time. I mean, anytime you get a house on $80,000 under appraisal, you're in great shape.
That's an amazing deal that is, isn't it, Bill?
You could literally possibly turn around and get a second on that and do a zero down. That doesn't happen very often. It was about, I think it appraised for a little over 320, 330 or something. I forgot what they bought it at. They got it at like 250 or something. It was a good deal. Karen, that was good. That's just a great time of year to buy a house around Reno. Though we don't know, with all the new industry and Tesla coming in, we don't know what will happen here.
Nobody knows. So do you want to move on now, Bill, a little bit on about Facebook?
Let's take a 2-second break and then we'll move back into Facebook. Okay, folks, we're coming off the break and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about Facebook. Facebook, and I'm going to talk about this too. There's only so much bandwidth you have, but Facebook is really unique. And we do know that there's a couple different organizations out there who charge quite a bit, like $1,500. Can we say water cooler? Is it water cooler? Who are the groups?
Curator.
They charge a lot of money, but the people we know, the professionals across the country who are using them, are having good results. But $1,500 a month is a big chunk of change. So it's like running a little brokerage. I mean, our budget was about $5,000 for advertising, but for a single agent or a small team, that's a good chunk of change. So Jonathan, tell me about Facebook and how, and we'll talk about how we might use Facebook to generate leads. Now, I'm not sure buyers or sellers. Let's look at both sides, what we can do.
Well, I think the great thing about Facebook is increasingly I'm becoming dissatisfied with Google and AdWords because the changes over the past 18 months that Google has done with the layout. And the effect of that, folks, is that natural search, not paid, but natural search in a lot of very hot areas, it's literally almost been pushed off page one. So I increasingly started to look at Facebook, and Facebook, the analytics, the other changes that they've brought in around mobile, they've become, it's such a friendly mobile platform, and it's so easy to use on smartphones, and it's really something Facebook has really done fantastic, Bill. And now almost 70% of your traffic from the web or from Facebook will be using a mobile device, Bill. And also they've added such a number of refinements that allow you to really home in to a target audience, Bill, in a way that you just can't do with Google AdWords. And their management system and just that ability to key in to specific audiences has become so much more, in my mind, Bill, so more powerful than other forms of online advertisement. How does that sound, Bill?
Sounds good. So exactly, how does it work? So you got a little ad off to the right, but there's other ads in other places. And from that ad, you send them to more or less a landing page where you're trying to get a action or some kind of information.
Well, hopefully I'm going to get too techy here. I'm going to try and keep it as the language as general as possible. When it comes to the actual advertisement, Bill, they have two main places where the adverts show. The ones on the right, because you've got a kind of sidebar area, and then you have the adverts that show up in the main feed. And you could slightly criticize them, but they do their best to make sure the adverts is for the benefit of Facebook, the advertiser, and the consumer, that the adverts that show up in the main feed are as customized and as in the interest of of the person that they are showing up as possible. So what I was getting at, it's very hard to tell what's advert and what isn't advert in the main feed. You know, people also get success on the right-hand side. They're cheaper, actually. It's cheaper to advertise on the right-hand side. But the statistics prove that the engagement level isn't as high, Bill. So they're cheaper, but the actual engagement doesn't match up with the adverts in the main feed. Depending, when it comes to MailRite, what we're trying to build is that if you're regularly putting content on your Facebook page and then you put a specific post and that post, you're going to boost it. And that's internal Facebook language, folks. For a certain amount of money, you can boost that page. And by boosting that page, it can be shown to a much larger audience than would be available on your normal Facebook page. Did I explain that coherently, Bill?
Yeah, boosting, but boosting without a plan is a waste of money.
No, that's like what I say. You've got to have a specific post that you're planning to boost.
Right.
Bill's totally correct. Just boosting something out of a whim. And also, you've got to have an active Facebook page. There's no point in boosting a specific post and then somebody goes to your Facebook page and they don't see any decent content. And that's one of the things that MailRite helps with, that level of interesting content. But then you want them to like the page. Now, we do that at a certain price, and that really helps to publicize your Facebook page. Our next product is around actual getting new buyers and sellers for the agent. And the reason why this gets a bit more complicated, Bill, is you need decent adverts that from somebody that's already done sizable testing on what works and what doesn't work. And also, you've got to understand a little bit about the specific requirements of each agent or small team. So you need that experience about what adverts have worked and what adverts doesn't. And then you need to set up, you need a website, and B, you need a specific landing page with some offering that will induce the buyer or seller to give you their details, Bill. So there's about four different elements to this, and this is one of the reasons why a lot of agents don't utilize Facebook paid advertisement, because it's seen, and it is, you've got four different areas that you've got to get right, Bill.
Right. And what I can say is, we're going to go into Zillow after we take a break, but before we go there, the Facebook advertising system seems to be the highest targeted way to reach out to people, period. You can target it down to income, location, household. And I'm experimenting with, just think what you can do. If you got those MLS addresses you want to target.
And then you introduce pinning. What pinning is, Bill, is that you introduced that recently. You can put a specific zip code in and give a quarter mile, half a mile out. And it will put the impressions, the advertisement, folks. I'm using a little bit now Facebook internal language now, but it will show the advertisement depending on the pin. And it just introduced you, but Bill's so right. That's why I find it such an attractive medium. It's getting the eyeballs. It's getting the engagement. A lot of people I'm sure Bill doesn't because we're both very busy, but a lot of people spend over 20 to 40 minutes a day on Facebook, Bill.
Yeah. Now, I'm on Facebook every night because I have a group with 600 in it. So every night I come up, that's the last thing I do. I come up on Facebook. I check my group. I write a little couple notes back and forth. And so I'm probably on it 20 minutes every night, 20, yeah, 25 minutes.
That's a great way to use it, isn't it, Bill?
It's the last thing I do. And the other thing, too, is I'll hit advertisements just to look at them to see what's happening. Now, two things I want to talk about just briefly on Facebook. When I hit an advertisement, it's probably putting a pixel, targeting, whatever you might call it, on my site. It's actually on my web browser.
So, yes.
Right? My web browser is on Facebook.
Yeah, that's the other factor. I'm going to try not to get too techy here, folks, but what the beauty of it is that you do need a website. You're not going to be allowed to do this on your brokerage page, but if you haven't got a web page, and this is a little bit of advertising, this was one of the reasons with the MailRite system, we provide a website, and this is the reason why we did it. A lot of agents say, well, I've already got an agent page, or I've got this and that. But we provide a web page which we can put that pixel on, and then we can drive traffic back to that website based on, and there's a criteria. This is the reason why we encourage people to use the mail element of MailRite, is because that list that you put into MailRite is going to be the same list that we put into Facebook. And if the email part matches, Facebook will retarget that advert to those people. And they're going to be the people that know you. And then also the people that come to the website, it will retarget that. And retargeting, it's a buzzword, folks, but what it basically means is they're going to see an advert of you again a number of times depending on what your budget is. And one of the dirty secrets, Bill, of the internet is that most people that go to a website never come back. And that's why retargeting or re-showing and getting them to come back is so important, Bill.
No, I agree. And I tell you, I played around with some of the ads myself, and I've actually seen some products that I've become interested in because they were always there on Facebook, and I'm pulling up a lot of their ads.
Well, it's a strange thing. When it's first explained to you, you think, no, I'm not influenced, you know. But you are, aren't you, Bill? If you really see the thing.
Give you more exposure.
You do tend to go back to the website, don't you, to relook at it, don't you, Bill?
Relationships in real estate or really anything are built like this. You first meet a person and there's like a little thread. And then when you meet them online, that thread is like basically real thin.
Yeah.
And then if you're going to make another relationship, it's like throwing another piece of twine. Once you meet them, the more threads you get there in the relationship, it becomes a piece of rope. So
I think that's an excellent, thank you for that, Bill. I actually think that's a fantastic way of explaining it, actually, Bill. Spot on. I'll give you, he's actually explained, I'm going to write that one off.
Well, you can watch it. We'll have this.
Bill, in a very simple, in a powerful way, has explained why this is important. But then you get on to when you're looking for new, you know, especially on the, you know, I think any experienced agent are really looking for sellers. And this is the power of WordPress. But you've got to link it with an effective landing page. And you've got to have somebody who's got the experience. Otherwise, you're going to spend a lot of time with testing. And it might take about 3 to 4 months to find out. That's why we've got somebody on our team that's got over 2.5 years of experience of running these type of campaigns.
Yep.
And we remove all the time and wasted money, because he knows straight away what kind of landing page and what kind of advert is going to work, depending if you're looking for buyers and sellers. But I would say 80% of the people that approach us, folks, are looking for sellers.
With that, let's go to a break. And I'm actually going to try a commercial on the break for you. It's something a little different. How's that?
Let's go for it, Bill.
Okay, folks, we're on a break. I'm going to do a commercial for Jonathan instead of put one in when we do it post-production. One of the products that he has in MailRite that I've always liked, it's less than $10. And that's his basic mail. It provides a lot of things, but I liked it initially because what it would do is if once you have a business Facebook site, it would put at least one story automatically on that Facebook site. So you always had something fresh that was associated with real estate. And then they start getting, you know, the technical words, followers, leads, or looks, or whatever it is. So that's a really good thing just to have in itself. But then there's also to other stuff that do take much work that I've told Jonathan he really needs to charge for training people, from the mail list to the other things that you can do. And also you get a website. You get a website for that $10, which is really affordable. And now with that website, once you get the basics set up, that's when you have to spend some money on the Facebook's advertising and marketing and setting up. There is some cost there, but you don't even need that initially. You just need that $10 site to get set up, going, getting your business page set up on Facebook. And that's all in the first part of the package. And that's very reasonable, Jonathan.
Yeah, it's what I'm really up to, Bill. I always planned this, but it's taken over a year to kind of really work out the technical barriers. Is what I'm really building, Bill, is a kind of lower curator. A creator product that the average agent can afford. That's what this really is, Bill. And the reputation, because, you know, we're going to be introducing video. So what that's around, you can send a message through the MailRite system, and it's integrated referral, getting new reviews. But we can be adding the power that you'd be able to add a video message to that, asking for a review.
Yeah. So, now, if your head's about to pop and spin, we're going to come off the break. Jonathan gets a little too much tech in there. Folks, you got to stop inch by inch is a cinch, just one step at a time. I'm a big believer in the $10 account. That's your first thread. And then slowly, you know, learn. It doesn't come overnight. Real estate's a lot of work, as you know, and you get what you put into it, and it's a balance. So, Jonathan, with that, we'll come off our final section, which will be about Zillow. So, I've spent about $750 in 2 months in Zillow, and we did something, of course, that we normally wouldn't do. We actually called Zillow to square away my wife's account. She had 4 Zillow accounts. I had one. And the person who provides tech support was really a salesperson, and we don't normally buy anything off the cuff. I don't know what we were thinking, but she had been talking for months about how the top agents are using Zillow, and I got into it, and well, maybe using Zillow, maybe they're not using it right. Now let me talk about how I think the average agent should use Zillow. First of all, if you're starting in real estate, you have no business buying into Zillow unless you're wealthy and have a lot of money and a lot of runway. But what you should do is get in there and set everything up you can that's free. That includes referrals, people, contacts, listings, everything you need to know. Now, what you buy, the initial product, there's a couple products, and it's really hard to figure out what their products are. They sort of tell you, but they're mostly impressions for a zip code. And we're paying about now $340 a month or something like that. For impressions, and it's been the second month, and we've got 5 or 6 leads coming in. We do, and most of them are good email addresses, so you can build your email list and all that. And we've got one of those Karen actually went and met with and showed properties. So I got a feeling that over a period of time, she's probably going to sell at least one house this year from a Zillow lead. I said there's a high probability, so it'll probably be a break even, maybe a little bit better. But that said, spend a few months getting in there, setting up all the freebies, learning it inside and out, and then decide if you want to do impressions for an area. Also, if you're a team, let me tell you when you would want to do Zillow in my book. If you're a team, and we have a team set up right now, Karen's the broker and I'm below on the team. If you could get 3 or 4 people below you as buyer's agents and you focus on the listings, and what that is Zillow is really a lead generation for buyers. So the call would come into you, you'd talk, maybe meet with coffee or something. That's ideally bring in the office, introduce them to one of your buyer's agents, then you take 50%, of course, of the buyer's agent because you're providing the lead. There are brokers and teams doing that right now, and they spend a lot of money on Zillow, maybe a couple $1,000 a month. And all they're doing is they're just answering those phone calls when they come in. So yeah, that said, I would not have bought it in retrospect.
I think you said some fantastic things there. I agree with 90% of what you said, Bill. Where I would slightly differ are these. I would like what Bill said. I would learn as much about Zillow as possible. I think on reflection, I think it's a typical situation, Bill. You, especially your wife, was highly influenced by other agents in our office saying that this works for me. And it's like she was prepared to buy almost. The other thing is learn as much about it as possible and feel like what Bill's just said, fill in everything, but also understand you've got to get positive reviews on that free
app. Absolutely. 5 5s, Jonathan, 5 5s.
At least 5.
I'm saying 5 5s, 5 stars, 5 everything. Don't worry about
you know, But you have a period of time that one of your objective is to get as many quality reviews on that free Zillow account.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be totally easy. This is why MailRite, why we had a review platform, because we feel that we are providing a system to assist you, where it's, because it is not easy to get people to fill in that Zillow review. So you've got to have a system, and we normally advise that the messages that our agents send out through MailRite is that it offers some form of, they're going to, if somebody leaves a review, they will match it to a local charity, blah, blah. You've got to read the terms of Zillow to see that you're not breaking the review terms on Zillow, but we provide information to help you formulate the system. So it's really, really important to get reviews, build that up. It's really, have it totally filled in, and then it's not going to happen instantaneously. Like what Bill says, you know, it's probably going to start around $300 plus, and it's probably going to take about three to 6 months before you really see a return on that investment. So you've got to be prepared for that, folks. So if you're not in the position to wait it out 3 to 6 months before you... And the other thing, folks, is if you're a new agent, and Bill's just remarked about this before, you're probably going to get a lot of buyers. And if you don't want that, it might not be the most suitable platform for you. What do you think, Bill?
No, it's strictly buyers, but you'll learn a little bit. But let me tell you, everything you do, here's one last thing I want to close on. Karen is gone back, and we have a brokerage in California, but she's really an independent agent. I support her a little bit as an assistant on her team. But I tell you what, there's so much to do now for an agent. There's only so much you can do by yourself. So you got a contract, virtual assistants, whatever it is, a credit team. You got to figure this stuff out, because this world has changed in real estate. Still a relationship,
yeah,
but there's just so much more out there. So with that, Jonathan, I think we'll finish up with this Memorial Day.
Episode 50, Bill.
Buying or selling a home in the greater Reno, Tahoe area? I know the best CRS real estate broker, and that's Karen Conrad. And you can find her at KarenConrad.com or call her directly at 775-527-7021.